Hey everybody, this is the last show of the first week of Solana Made Easy, which is Easy Eats Bodega, Solana-focused Twitter Spaces podcast. What a great week it was. This particular episode focuses on the whitelist or allow list meta that is happening on Solana. We look at comparisons to the meta that was happening on ETH earlier in the year surrounding allow lists. So if you are interested in Solana, getting into that blockchain, understanding how that blockchain operates when it comes to NFTs compared to some of the other blockchains like Ethereum, for example, that are more widely used, this is definitely the show for you. 100% Solana-focused show. As usual, our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app.
What is going on, the beautiful Solana ecosystem and community here? Shout out all of you for joining today. Day 4 of Solana Made Easy. Appreciate you all tuning in. Appreciate all the support this week. Shout out the similar faces we've been getting up on stage. Chillin' Villain, Cody, my co-host, Pio, and Running Man. Shout out Angel, first-time speaker, Tom. Shout out Smoothie and Manny as well. Wolfie, how you doing? Appreciate you all for joining. Got a lot to talk about today. Excited for sure. It seems like we are actively seeing the step-in market collapse. GMT and GST seeing all-time lows, which are the two tokens in step-in. Shoe prices are down 4 to 5 SOL. And it seems like China's banning a lot of it, which is probably the most interesting aspect there. Seeing some news reports from that about how if China finds the app on devices, they will be banning your GPS location. A lot of interesting takes on that. So I guess I'm kind of curious if we want to start there. Excited for the show today. I know we got some hyped mints on Sunday. Volume's a little bit down. TPS has been in the gutter. We had a couple mints today that seems like it left a little bit of a sour taste in people's mouth. Got a lot to talk about. JT, what you got? Saw your hand was up.
Hey, yo, so I've been saying this for some time. I'd never believe Stefan was sustainable. I really wish I got in earlier though, because if I got in the first time I saw it, I probably would have been like up a lot right now. But today I literally was about to fold and buy in, and like before it started going down, and I'm glad I didn't. But I honestly don't get how it like could have been sustainable. They're paying out so much money, and I think their only way of making money is through their royalties.
Yeah, that was the question I asked that yesterday. I was just trying to understand like what the longevity was surrounding, you know, the ecosystem, like the tokenomics of it. And I didn't understand how there would be sustainability in like that amount of liquidity to be paid out consistently. So I'm on the same page as you. We'll see where it goes from here. But this is kind of gnarly. Like, Easy, what do you think of that?
Yeah, so I was talking to a few friends actually who a few of them brought up that they thought they might be going net short on GST as a whole. So typically, when people decide to short a coin, especially in size, that usually is a bearish sign. Typically, when people reach out and give me a little bit of information like that, it's tough to know where it may go. But then, I mean, I exited my step in right around that moment when I got that message, because I was like, this person is usually truthful, believable. I back what they say. And sure enough, it seems like GST is taking a huge hit. I was always, I don't want to say confused, but unsure of the sustainability like everyone else. The tough part with it is there was just massive success for Stepin, and I had a lot of people outside of crypto asking if I was familiar with it, if I knew what it was, how it worked, how they could get paid to run. And normally that's like the most top-ish of top indicators. I still ended up buying in right around then and getting out shortly after for a nice little gain on the shoes and the method, I guess you could call it. But Pio, you just did a video as well talking about a bunch of move to earns. And when that actually happens, that's usually a bearish sign for the space in that category or vertical, in my opinion, because that just means dilution. People are going to chase whichever one has the highest return, and the ones that do not are going to plummet pretty quickly. So if a new one came out with a much higher yield or return, those people would try to get off of stepping in onto that.
Yeah, Micah G wanted to do move to earn in the video, and I said, okay, like I thought it was just Stepin. I don't know what any of the other ones do. I don't know how they're different than Stepin. You know, went through the whole video with Micah, and came away with it not understanding anymore. I liked what Kick said, where he compared it to the play to earn phenomenon that we saw that obviously has resulted in kind of a weird spot in that whole market. When you think about it, like when we first heard play to earn, I think we all scratched our heads and said, how exactly are you going to earn money for playing a video game? And then, you know, Axie Infinity blew up and all these other games came out. So all of a sudden we just accepted it. We're like, yeah, play to earn the future, even though people didn't really totally understand it. And now I feel like we're in the head scratching phase of move to earn. But I don't know if we're going to get that same blow up. Like Steppen has quote unquote blown up, but it's not anywhere near as big as Axie Infinity, but maybe that also has to do with the kind of broader market and the macro conditions.
Yeah, and I know, Angel, you had mentioned you were pretty big into Steppen yesterday. Shout out that TikTok content that you were in from yesterday's show talking about Steppen in general.
Yeah, pretty funny timing. But yeah, I mean, like, I definitely, like, today the market's been, like, hit bad on JST and GMT, but the way I see it is that the brand is huge. I don't think the other move and earn are any more of a competition as like any of the shit coins were a competition to like peak Doge, peak SHIB. They're just popping up. Like most of them, like, you know, like we got to remember that Steppen first came onto the scene winning, I think it was Ignition and Hackathon or something like back, like way back in fall. So, I mean, they were not the first ones to do the move to earn thing, but Steppen as a brand right now is huge. We can't take that out. And of course, like there's the whole thing about like, okay, how is the liquidity going to be sustained? But there's many, many things that they still haven't done yet from a game theory point of view. I was actually like outside like Steppen probably an hour ago. Like my payout was pretty fine. It was still chill. And actually the entire time I was running, I was thinking, okay, like if I'm the Steppen dev, what can I do right now that is going to make the prices go up? So first, if we look at the Sol shoe market right now, today people are panic selling sneakers, right? Okay, so how can you solve that? Well, first, they're introducing scrolls to mint. So minting, so right now there's a problem with sneaker inflation, right? We saw the BNB shoe market blow up because there was almost no sneakers on BNB. There was only 10,000 of them. So what happened is that instead of having the entire like minting mechanism on Solana that make kind of the supply of sneakers blow up, people rushed to BNB and then there was a supply shock of sneakers on BNB, right? So right now, what is happening is that as GST is crashing, the cost to mint on the Sol side becomes cheaper, right? So it causes this sort of, I explained it in my Discord, but it causes like a sort of kind of GST slash sneaker death spiral, but it can be stopped. It can be stopped. It could be stopped today if they were like, okay, no more minting. Boom. Stops. It starts to reduce the sneaker inflation. And they're probably going to do something that sort of like that with the scrolls. And there's other things. Like they can start to make the cost to level up. They can change it. Like there's literally no rules right now. So obviously today, a lot of panic selling. I think a lot of it is tied to, let me see. Let me pull up the charts right now. I think a lot of it is tied to Bitcoin, ETH, and Solana just being down. You know, like Solana is pretty down bad today. So obviously those, when those kind of big players are down like that, like stuff like Steppen, meme coins, just those kind of riskier plays are obviously the first thing that people are going to offload. And of course, ETH took a big hit today. I've seen a lot of big whales that I follow just liquidate big pieces like Fidenzas on ETH and stuff like that. So a lot of the guys are kind of de-risking some NFTs. And let's not forget that Steppen is the NFT project. So if the NFT market as a whole is taking a slight dip, we've seen Trippin8s that are down in USD value right now. We're going to see something happen with Steppen. Obviously, freaking China banned Steppen today comes out. But like I said, it's like, a country that has already pretty much banned Bitcoin, banned crypto. Are we surprised that they're banning an app that can make you a lot of crypto? Like, I mean, it's kind of a non-event to me, but obviously all of that compounded today makes it bad. So that's pretty much my take.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like the most logical thing to, I mean, from your comments as well, they have banned crypto assets prior. Not surprising that now they're starting to kind of crack down on something that could be providing data to the country outside of the country. But not to even get into, I guess, the politics of it. It's more interesting from the macro scale of crypto as a whole and its effect on these kind of walk to earn things. Ronnie, what do you have on that?
I think him judging it just as him perceiving it, looking at it today, and not on its potential. I mean, I'm in the UK. The Steppen groups running around Hyde Park, meeting up, like, you know, like it's on. It hasn't been around very long. It's got huge potential to launch physical product, physical trainers, physical sports brand. And that also increases, you know, all through the token, that creates a deflationary mechanism, which does, which could make it sustainable. And, you know, like I say, I think they're running at this burn rate, this rate on the token at the moment to get adopted, you know, to get mass adoption. What comes after is exposure to that mass adoption through branding and physical product. And I think what it could become, it could become pretty big, to be fair. I think, you know, looking at the prices today, I think if you judge it long term, the potential of it is a completely different thing. That's, you know, just my opinion.
No, and I definitely agree. There's a lot more upside depending on how they can pivot. It's interesting to see that they've stayed dynamic and are even dynamic to what Angel was saying around repair, exactly, cost, whole nine. Yeah, so I think that's really awesome. I'm excited to see how that pans out. I know we have a couple new speakers here compared to this week. Frisk, Tom, how are you both doing? I'd love to hear what you guys have been getting into. Tom, you've been trading anything? Any wins, losses? How's the Sol market been treating you?
Hey, man, thanks for having me. It's been a little while that we've gotten on one of these. Yeah, I've just been looking around, obviously, tried my hand at the Trippin' Apes and some of the bigger stuff. Been building some stuff with some projects in the background, helping out the Discord server a little bit. You know, it's been a weird market. Things have been pumping. That, you know, I think we saw this ETH push a little bit, and I think you and I talked about this privately. I have a lot of ETH guys that I talk to on a daily basis, and I think the OpenSea situation thought that people were going to go to these older projects and pump them, and we've definitely seen the opposite, where people are jumping on, you know, the newer bandwagon. So I'm kind of waiting for the shift on that. I think there's some pretty big mints I'm saving up for in the beginning of June here, that I'm very curious to see how the market reacts, because we haven't seen this type of hype back to back to back. I think the third through the fifth, there's three pretty large mints in comparison to what we've seen lately. So I'm definitely interested to see how the market reacts to that.
Yeah, and I do think we're going to start to see some formal liquidity shift around. We've seen Trippin' Apes start to pull back here, down 10, 15 Sol. It tends to be kind of how this cycle works. A lot of that liquidity, since we are a little bit smaller liquidity-wise, it tends to be a little bit tougher to prop up all these new hyped mints, and we see that movement across the board. Yeah, very curious. I mean, we just saw Kings of the Street, project we've been talking about all week, originally was supposed to mint today and push to Sunday, which now conflicts with GCon. So two massive mints that are upcoming. It's going to be curious how that actually plays out and which one of those comes out on top, because I think whichever one does not hold that floor price or volume is going to trade much lower than people originally expected. Frisk, see, we got your alt up here. Sorry, we couldn't have the main account. How you been? What's been going on?
It's all right, man. I know things happen. I'm doing good, Easy. Thanks for having me up here, man. I've been I'm a bit of a whitelist maxi. That's just kind of like the way that I'm playing the game right now. It's not exactly like the best way to do it, to like, I guess, go about like making like these insane gains, but when you have things that are looking a lot like really bearish in regards to macro scales, I believe like risking the least amount of capital as possible is always the best way to go about things. I do a lot of research in regards to like outreach and stuff like that. So I'm always on the hunt for new projects. And man, this week is an insane one for every upcoming project. Like everything is just there. Like even amongst the bear market that we're in right now, things are still doing like those consistent 2 to 3 X's. We had Trippin' Ape. We had like you said, Kings of the Street coming out. We have Trippy World this weekend as well as GCon. Really excited for GCon. I think that'll do really well. Today, Easy, we were talking about Moonly, which, I'm so pissed about that. But there's a lot of opportunity in regards to a lot of these upcoming mints. And I think that while I think I'm going to be flipping most of them, there's a few great ones that I think can make for some really great holds, especially when you get into the bottom. Like the one that I'm really, really excited for is Bubble Goose. I think that it coming from a really great team of people who have established themselves is the kind of project that you want to be getting in on. And those are the kinds of things that you want to keep your eye out for. And then once you accumulate that Sol, whether you want to hold it like in USDC or hold like, or split the bag between Sol and USDC, that type of thing, I think that's obviously something that's also really important as well, because the game has always been to stack Solana, but when you're going down, you want to be able to maximize that as much as possible. So what I'm keeping an eye out for right now is finding a lot of these new projects, ones that are trying to do something different, ones that are in a lot of like the carbon copy of that we've been seeing a lot of right now. I was just talking to my friends in my group chat, like all of these projects feel like they're blending together at this point. Like a lot of the concept art and the art and like the PFP stuff, it's really meshing together. So finding projects with reputable teams that are doing something different, I think that that's a lot of what I'm keeping my eye out for right now.
You know what? I completely agree with that. That's exactly my strategy at the moment. I think with these art mints, they're realizing the value straight on launch. And I think what I mean, we've spoke about whitelists all week. You know, it's so important because you realize, you know, you're realizing that equity straight away, and then then they seem to be ranging in that range, and then pulling back slightly, and then on to the next one. I'm also the same as you, looking for. I think the projects that run are the ones that are going under the radar, that aren't hyped, that actually have really good utility. I mean, you talk about Moonly there. I think the better project is Smart Sea Society, which launches on May the 29th. And I think that's a better product, to be fair. And that's sort of going under the radar. Just an example.
So what do you think makes that a better product? I mean, piggybacking off Frisk there, I'm really excited for Moonly. I do plan, I think, to hold one of these at this point. I could sell one here and completely ride it for free. And the interesting part about it is it gives a lot of that access, the Project Moonly being things like mobile alerts, price settings, ways to get that information, even if you're on the go. And I know a lot of us are constantly in front of our computer staring at our phone for 99% of the day anyway, but this almost lets you take that step away and still feel like you're in tune with the market, which is a nice change of pace. I know PO uses Ninja Alerts a lot, and this gives me similar vibes to that, but not just on wallet activity. It also provides functionality into what and where movement is, whether your floor prices are going up or down, whether projects are listing counts are going up and down. So you can almost time your entries. It's really unique in that aspect. And to be honest, I didn't really look at it much before today, aside from just being able to mint it. And then watching their video, I was blown away. So I'm curious how a similar product you feel is better than that.
I've looked at Moonly. But I mean, Smart Sea, I'm not sure. Does Moonly measure social interaction live? Because I'm seeing a correlation in floor listings and it'll live social interaction as well, which is, you know, what Smart Sea is measuring at the moment.
Yeah, so it does show socials, Discord, Twitter, engagement rates, things like that. I'm not sure the level of depth. And I haven't seen the project you're mentioning here, so I definitely got to dive into it because I agree. I mean, I said it earlier, social sentiment drives 99% of price action.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that, I mean, we collabed with this on, we got whitelist for this as well through on Nifty. Everybody who's seen this, you know, it's like, you know, when you say, you know, a PFP mints and everybody starts wearing the PFP. Everybody who's seen this loves it. And then it's going under the radar at the moment. You know, it's not as hyped as Moonly, but I think I'll send you a couple of screenshots in DMs. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting. Manny, what you got going on?
Cool. Thanks for having me back up. Right now, I'm really just focused on finding under 1,000 collections that are under 10 sol who have had success in whitelist. There's a couple that I'm looking at right now, but they're kind of a little high right now. And like, I think the biggest thing that I'm looking for is we're in this whitelist meta, right? So what projects can I just hold so I can win, right? Because that's where I'm going to be making most of my alpha right now, is off of the minting stuff. Like, unless I'm buying like a Tadians before this hype mint, like that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I have a price target for a Tadians at 42 right now. Like, where they're at, they'll pump to 42 post GCon mint. But like, it's like Foxes, a Tadians. Dude, I'm like lost in the sauce on the Tayo stuff. Like, that is a cult, but it's a really cool cult. Like, I'm obsessed. I can't show them enough, but I won't because it's against the rules. But I'm not pumping my own bag because I'm not selling any of that shit. Like, that stuff is insane. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's kind of what I have going on. I have like a $19 soul target. So right now, probably my biggest holding is going to be like the blue chips I want and USDC.
Damn, so you're looking towards 19 for soul price.
Yeah, I think we're in a bear trap. I really think that we're in a bear trap. You might see a small bounce to 60, but dude, Bitcoin hit 28.5. 3-day average hits that, boom, this is going straight to 19. Like, I might be crazy, but I'm a monkey on the internet, and like, don't trust me, and don't trust me for financial advice, but yo, I'm stacking that USDC, and I'm okay with being wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad thing to be wrong about, especially on a lower target. The only thing would be if you paid a little bit too much for your soul there, so... Hey, I respect it. I would not mind the $19 Solana target. I would definitely load up at that price. Like, that feels so cheap to me, especially because we saw it at, what, 260 back in November. So, yeah, it's That would be it'd be bad for all of our bags. I don't think NFTs would act in the same manner. I don't think we'd see an uptick in that. But it'd be a really interesting case study to actually see how the market moves there. I'm curious, though. Tom, what you got going on?
I just was kind of curious what you or anyone else here thought. So I've been kind of – I mean, you know me from our private conversations. I'm a bit of a macro guy from finance here. And, you know, we have all these hyped mints coming up. We've had a couple that have passed us by here and done well. I looked back on Blocksmith's calendar of last month and just wrote a couple numbers down here that I thought were interesting. You know, looking back forward, I guess, in a couple weeks, and then looking back a couple weeks and seeing, like, we had Mituki, top was 3.1, current 1.88. Degen Dojo is over 16, currently at 4.83. Oniro is at 2-5 with their issues. They're at 7.25. Looking at more of these like mid to long holds and seeing what's happening with these hyped mints, and the percentage is not great. So it's hard to see, you know, I agree with the whitelist meta situation, but I'm definitely trying to see like what in a month, which one of these are we going to remember, you know, with all this volume flowing in. And I thought I've been talking to, a couple guys at different marketplaces in the past. And I brought up this idea about 2 months ago, and I got kind of laughed at for it, was, you know, pulling the ETH situation and listing something during whitelist and setting a more stable floor price, a little discovery when there's less than the full collection out. And I got laughed at that, oh, no one's going to like that. No one wants that. And I've seen today already, you know, we're starting to see that more, and it's kind of, we're seeing stuff not dip under mint quite as much because there's only 3,000 available to be listed. And then there might only be 300 listed, and those guys aren't listing under mint. And then when the full supply comes out, we're seeing a little bit better price action, a little less volatile, which I think is really, really good for Sol, because we have definitely had problems with that. I was just curious if you like that idea of listing a little earlier and kind of seeing what you thought about that.
Well, we see it on ETH all the time. That's the interesting thing. As soon as you mint something, you can sell it. So right away, a lot of people have that idea and understanding if a project's actually going to sell out or not. The other thing, though, is like from that perspective, things tend to sell out a little bit slower due to the gas. On Sol, this stuff sells out almost instantly for hype, regardless of what that secondary action looks like. So I think it's more interesting when something like a Trippin' Apes gets on secondary market, lists, and still has, like we saw, what was it, 90 total for public? Basically just like enticing the market to crash TPS, but you still have a good idea. I think for some of the slower mints, especially because now there's like the unverified selling on Magic Eden, which of course holds risk. Like those projects could rug much easier. They're not actually verified. There's no information on them. The other thing with that though is like, to your point, it's price action. We can see very quickly, is it worth minting this if it's a slow mint? Are people already paying over floor for, I would say, like rares or less common ones? There's a lot of factors that go into it that you can start to look at that data and actually understand the market a little bit, I guess you could say, and figure out, is this going to be worth minting? Do I chase if it gets down to the last 1,000? How should I kind of run with that? I'm curious if anyone else has opinions on that. I think I've seen a few tweets from a few people on stage about the listing early, and I'm curious what they may have. I mean, I know Alex definitely has a shit post on it, so I'm curious what he has. Manny, I'm curious what you got.
Yeah, I think I just want – this is kind of out of context. I just want a buy floor button on Magic Eden or OpenSea, right? Like when something's ripping, I just want a buy floor button, and it'll just give me the next available one. Like that is the only thing I want. And like I know that's not what we're asking, but I don't know. I just kind of let the market be the market. That's my trading ethos.
For sure. And Shillin, what you got?
Are you asking what I think about automatically being able to list your NFT? I think it's a great idea. I think a lot of slow rugs or even hard rugs can just sell out because there's no type of price discovery. And if you were able to automatically list, the project could no longer sell that NFT at that mint price if it's going to just be at like 50% mint whenever people, because you can't really judge demand if there's no way to list it. And it sucks for projects. It's going to be harder for them to sell out, but it's going to protect the investor. So I like that idea of automatically listing.
Yeah, and I think I like both of what was shared there. Manny, I completely agree. A buy the floor option would be incredible. We see it a lot with like offers for collection wide, some of that stuff. So I'm curious if more tools can make that. I am also curious if it's a blockchain kind of limitation for Sol and what that limitation may be. But then to Alex's point, I also definitely feel that if we can find that base a little bit easier, it's going to eliminate some of these hard rugs and these like quadruple derivatives. Like sometimes that shit is fun, especially if there's nothing else going on. But man, we sell out some of the worst shit on Sol. So it's like I can't even be mad at people kind of giving a shit for it, because there is some.
What about the goblins?
Yeah. Well, Cody, you can't knock the goblins. If a Sol project came out and just grunted, if we turn this into a goblin space, I think it would do numbers. Like, I think Sol would buy in so heavy into the goblins. Like, that, I listened last night to 5,000 people just grunting and growling, and I never wanted a goblin more. Cody, you got to tell me you at least like them. Like, don't lie.
I don't like them.
Easy. We're going to be flipping goblins in like 48 hours now. You've said that. You know,
honestly,
there's devs running now, right, to load up goblin projects now. You know that.
There's going to be a shitty goblin left facing deriv tomorrow.
Let's
that,
fucking
like,
go.
I'm all in. If they do a Twitter space like we see on ETH, that space was way too much fun. Like, I'm not mad about it at all. Cody, speaking of, what are you looking at? What are you trading? I'm curious what you've been eyeing today. Did you mint Moonly?
I did not. I actually did want to comment on something from earlier, but I still don't know how to raise your hand in a Twitter space, so I just want to wait until you ask me a question. Basically, like, I was just curious how people feel. Like, I know we're talking about the current meta of like the whitelist meta. I feel like a big thing that I've noticed is that people are really looking at projects, even older projects, having to do with, you know, how many whitelist spots can I get from there, right? Like, whether it's Zayton Raptors, like random projects that had a certain utility, and now they're kind of switching it up. I saw like Blocksmith Labs yesterday announced that, you know, they get a ton of whitelist spots. Now they're reserving, you know, X amount of their collabs just for their holders, right? And I know personally, like, this whole week, I've completely switched, like, my focus. I've put out less content. I have just been, like, hitting up every project trying to get whitelist spots for my community, because it's just, like, it's what people want. So I'm just curious, like, how long is that going to last? Is that going to be the whole utility of certain projects? What are you guys thinking?
Well, I touched on this the other day, Cody. The more it goes on, the more competitive it's going to get. And we got to get creative in the way we generate them, because you're right, Blocksmith, I'm doing olders only auctions, you know, and there's going to be, you know, the older projects. The problem is new projects get access because their Twitters are live at that time. They've just gone to mint and their Twitters are live. As soon as that sort of fades, the popularity on that new project fades, you know, the emphasis switches on newer projects being able to collab with minters. And yeah, it's going to be an ongoing process. As I say, it's all about exposure, about getting access, you know, early into projects, because floors will go up on these projects and supplying whitelists. And it's about getting bags in there early, which is, you know, basically what I've been talking about all week.
No, I mean, I agree with that. It seems like it's an opportunity to mint, not a requirement to mint. So I think whitelist isn't going anywhere. I'm not sure which one of you had your hand up first, so I'm going to toss it over to Shillin, Manny, and then Frisk, just because how you're lined up on the stage.
Yeah, so getting back to the whitelist, I think it is going to evolve. I mean, we've seen it evolve since it used to be just 3 invites got you whitelist. Now it's like you need to do a whole bunch of stuff. They're going to no longer need DAOs and influencers to sell out projects soon. And then we're going to see exactly what we see on ETH, where like pretty much every whitelist spot is raffled off and no one's given any type of favoritism.
I could certainly see it. I mean, it's a matter of time. Like, I think it's a when, not an if, we get something like that, like a pre-mint or a raffle for whitelist for the public to just enter. Manny, what'd you have?
I just wanted to talk about the current meta and, like, what it is, right? It's like people build these botted Twitter accounts, get a bunch of influencers, dish out a bunch of whitelists, and it's nice for us because it doesn't crash the network. But when you look at other projects creating these, like, tokens or whatever, and, like, again, like Soulport Tom, like he's building his own machine that does this, right? Like if he mints on graphite, you don't crash the Solana network, like because everything is all done in graphite, right? So if he is the premier launch pad since like Hydra, it's right now it's just like Soulport and Magic Eden, right? And like everybody's going to be going to those. And then all they have to do is just integrate the raffle button for their in-game currency or whatever, and then that's it. Then the game's over, and then we're back to where ETH is on the raffles. And that's just my thoughts on that.
I think it's going to come to the stage shortly where projects are going to start realizing that can get 2x mint out of this. They can get a mint on the whitelist, and then they can get a mint when they actually mint the project. And I think that's how competitive it's going to get, which is why I think they might be going down the whitelist route. As I say, I think that's the sort of competition we're going to be up against shortly.
Yeah, Frisk, what'd you have? What's going on? Curious to hear your thoughts on it.
So the whitelist meta, it's been an argument for the longest time, for what I can remember, especially when things were really heating up. And I remember I actually wrote a guide on like the best way to get whitelist back in like, I want to say January, February, around then. And it's crazy to see how things have just really changed, and also how things haven't changed whatsoever. The big meta right now, like I think Manny said, it is the whitelist giveaway meta. That's what it is right now with a lot of projects. And so I guess, I think Easy, you said, can this sustain, like, it, like how long are we going to see this go up for? I don't think whitelist is going anywhere, but I do think things have to change, because I think at the moment right now, right, it's a bit of a gatekeeping in regards to mass adoption. Like, if you want to welcome people in and like they want to be able to get in on or learn how to mint and stuff, a lot of the time these whitelists, they aren't really like being, I guess, doned out to give people like a ton of fair chances. And I'm also a firm believer in that whitelists, in a sense, are also their own currency. They've been used to, people look at them as like their own ways to be traded, and they have their own value to them. That's why they're being traded on things like Foxymart and stuff like that. And so they inherently have their own value to it as well. What's going to change? I think someone mentioned the raffle system. I think that's definitely something that needs to eventually happen. Not necessarily to a full 100% like what Moonbirds did, but maybe in a sense where like you can have an allocation for the community members who have helped build up your project, and you can reward the people who have been early investors and early involvers. And you also give an opportunity for people who don't have the time, don't have the opportunities to get into those, like we talked about DAOs, such as Blocksmith Labs, which get those allocations and which get those opportunities to get those whitelist spots because of the connections that they have. And you give them just a fair chance to be able to get into, let's call it a sub whitelist, if you will, and they get the opportunity to get in there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate the sub whitelist idea. I liked what Alexander was saying there around the raffle system. We see it a lot with pre-mint, like I had mentioned, so I don't think that's unrealistic. I've said it a few times now, like, I'm a fair launch protocol maxi. We saw a ton of success with it on the Trash Pandas. I love that they got that that mint price to 0.1. Like, there's just some things about that becomes like part of that community, and they almost determine what that fair value is. Sure, you can have the troll stuff like that, which some people say hurt DAA a little bit with funding and raising money, but they're still around, still active, still moving. So I think we are going to see some shift. But I think the other thing that's interesting is, like, Frisk, you brought up the token trading on Famous Fox. We're seeing a lot more with Blocksmith and Mercury doing the wallet-based minting. What are your thoughts on, like, wallet-based whitelist trading? I haven't dove into it, but I've seen some wild success from people who have just aped accounts and connected a ton of alt wallets and made a ton of money.
So, I'll be quick, because I see some hands raised. It's a really weird concept, because, like, a lot of people are doing the wallet-based systems because they think that putting a price on a whitelist token hurts their secondary, and that it can like set a price barrier for like, okay, if whitelist tokens are trading at like 40 SOL, that means these should be at 60 SOL when they're trading on secondary. And so they think that like the tokens are being harmful to their project, but people are still finding a way around it to end up selling whitelist spots even without the tokens. So the question is, do we just allow people to trade the tokens safely instead of trying to get hurt, like doing OTC trades, or do we try and do this to mitigate the idea of setting a predetermined cost for what secondaries could open at? I don't have an answer for that, but it's an interesting thought. Yeah.
Also, as well with the whitelist meta is we're seeing the highest rates of individual ownership in projects, and we're not seeing any market manipulation. I remember botted mints, where bots used to take 150, 200 of the supply and just manipulate that floor on projects, you know, all night long. At the moment, we've got the highest percentage of individual users as well. I think it's been really great for Solana by protecting the network and, you know, by the healthiness of projects as well.
And I think it's only going to get better, like a lot of us are saying. It's a matter of figuring out what that right solution is. Maybe it's a raffle. Maybe it stays the current way it is. I'm not sure what that answer is. Crypto Dan, do you have an answer for us?
Well, yeah. Well, I wanted to comment on two things. First is the minting process, and I totally agree. I think that during a mint, it's important to see secondary sales, but I also think you can still get a read of the demand for a project without price discovery, depending on how fast it sells out. So on like Launchpad, if you start seeing a project just like exponentially go like brrr in terms of people just minting, I think that's, you know, that's a bullish sign. You know, that definitely gives me confidence in the project. But yeah, I agree. Like, it's terrifying when you don't have like price discovery and, you know, you're trying to like assess like what the floor price is, you know, like going to be and whether or not to mint. So like, that's like obviously like the telltale sign for me. It's like, I always look at secondary market. If obviously if we see that flow, then okay, things are looking good. And the other thing I wanted to talk about in regards to the whitelist process is what you're starting to see now is obviously like, you know, you are get involved in one project, right? And you get whitelisted, you mint and you know, you get your NFT, and then the promise is they're building something, whether it's utility, community, whatever, and it takes forever. People get bored, so they're offering their community alpha, right? Like, and that's whitelist contests. Like, I'm in my profile picture is the Stone Frogs. Like, it was going to be a quick flip for me, but I actually stuck around because like they give you so much alpha. Like every like hour they're releasing contests, they do you know, NFT analysis, and I think that's a really great way, because like I hated the old school method of trying to whitelist and like wag me, let's fucking go, like just trying to pump a chat room of like useless dribble. Like, I think that's fucking bullshit. That's not a real community. So like, I think it's great. You know, it's kind of, you know, adding value to projects, and it makes, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, like a real community is going to come together on its own. Like, I don't think, you know, you forcing people to invite a million people that are fake accounts or just people that don't care, doing them a favor by joining, I think that's bullshit. I think where we're actually going is the right way.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time until we kind of get to that point. Manny, real quick, what you got before I reset the room here? I know we got a few new speakers on stage as well.
Yeah, real quick, we just need to solve this like immediately, right? Just because we want as many new people to get onboarded. And if it's this complex to pick a quality project, like how do we expect the market to grow, right? So we need to like just build something that says like, hey, these are pretty decent, enter this raffle, win. Welcome to Solana.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's tough to really beat that. It seems like the most fair way here. But hey, wanted to just circle back here. I know we've been going for about 40 minutes. I appreciate everyone tuning in as always. This is Solana Made Easy with the Nifty Alpha. 5 to 6 p.m., 5 to 6:15 p.m., Monday to Thursday. Shout out to all the great speakers that showed up all week. Ton of support. Shout out everyone in the audience listening in, getting that sweet alpha, diving into Sol for the first time, and starting to really figure it out. It's been awesome. It's been badass. First week of many. So let's keep it moving. Sol Buckets, appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you hopping on.
Dude, thanks for the invite. That was absolutely fantastic what just happened there. I felt like the vibrations moving through my body when the music started playing.
It's all those good vibes, you know? We're giving some alpha and enjoying our time up here. I'm curious, man. I know you hold a nice four-trait bear. You got basically every green skin in the game when it comes to good projects. What have you been trading, man? What's been on your watch list? What have you been picking up? Wins, losses? What's going on?
I mean, you know, a lot of losses right now. There's no safety when the market's kind of crabbing like this, and you know, people are trying to get liquid with e-liquid JPEGs, so it's kind of tough situation to be in all in all. But you know, over the past few weeks I've been like rotating a lot of my you know, I'm not really like selling NFTs so much. I'm more like trading them and for other projects, just because like a lot of people will just prefer to trade different styles of projects to get exposed to different communities. I think it's been pretty like notable in the past few weeks. I think more people are trading like swapping NFTs than they are like trading Sol, like for an NFT, at least in terms of like the higher value projects, like OK Bears and some Catalina Whales, you know, SMBs, D Gods, like all those styles of projects, like the, I guess I would say, quote unquote, like the higher value projects right now. So, you know, just kind of holding on tight for the most part. I haven't been really actively minting, like, aggressively. I want to hold as much liquidity on the side as I can for, like, a massive dip. Like, I know somebody in here was mentioning they're looking for the $19 Solana. It's like everyone's looking – we're in a position now where everyone's looking to buy, like, in the $20 range, that it almost feels like it might not get there. You know, typically that's how the market responds in situations like this. I mean, the macro environment looks like shit for sure. So I think there's a chance that we move down more from 40, 44 bucks where we're at. But I think that expecting it to be like a 19 or 20 bucks, like it's going to be like catching and, you know, catching it and for a second type of thing. So, I mean, if you have your bids placed, I think that's a good spot. I mean, I'll be bidding. I'll probably be dollar cost averaging from like 35 to 30 bucks and just holding from there. I think that's still a great entry for Solana. I mean, I wouldn't like stress yourself out and try to catch like a $19 Solana and be like, damn, I missed the dip. You know, like, I mean, it's just, the game is dollar cost averaging for the most part. So even on NFTs, like if you really want to be a part of a community, Catalina Whales, whatever it is, like I would say as Solana kind of continues to go on a downtrend, it takes like a little bit of, there's like a lag between when people start listing their NFTs higher. So if you can catch like a 10% dip on Solana and you want to scoop like, let's say a whale or something, or a bear or whatever it is, then, you know, that's probably a good opportunity too. So there's like different, there's a lot of different ways you can look at it, I think, when it comes to like acquiring good art or whatever, good community pieces or NFTs or tokens or whatever. It's usually like a little bit of a lag. So if you can catch that difference, I think you can, you know, capitalize there too. So, I mean, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I mean,
I think you brought up a good point. It seems the world is targeting that $20 soul mark, and almost always the market front runs it. So whether that's $33, $34, $22, I'm not sure if we're going to get there. It's the same way we see everyone targeting like that 28 on BTC, 16. I've even heard 8 on ETH. So we'll see how low it goes. But I think most people's targets are going to be under where it actually bottoms out. I'm in the same kind of boat there. It seems, it reminds me of 17-18, man, when it was just like, if easy. You can survive, you're chilling.
Easy. In a bear market, there's bear market talk, mate. You know what I mean? You know, at the end of the day, I'm an NFT trader. I insulate with fiat. You know, I moved a lot. When the market was euphoric on the last pump to like 130, 140, you know, I moved a lot out at 120. Can get to 20 for me now because I'm buying all the way down. You know, a lot of my bankrolls in fiat, you know, I'll keep that. I'll class that as my crypto bankroll because I insulate on the way down and I insulate on the way up, you know, to expand, you know, to trade at the same sort of dollar average as I'm trading, whether the currency's up or down. Because at the end of the day, I'm an NFT trader. I'm not a currency trader. And a lot of those currency trades, I could probably buy an Amstar with a yes or no pad and probably have a high hit rate. To be fair, that's just my thought on it.
No, I think you're right. And buckets, what you have there?
I was going to say, like, you can take this as an example of, like, kind of when COVID started happening. Like, everyone was kind of bearish on the market and bearish on the macro environment just because, you know, there's a pandemic going around. And then all of a sudden, you know, everyone's, like, setting these low price targets and then selling their, you know, stocks and selling their crypto, trying to stay liquid in this market, and then all of a sudden everything just takes off again. So it's just like how much can you really predict is like up to your bias, but I mean it's definitely difficult to time the bottom, and I would definitely not recommend stressing out over it. I think if you're if you're ultimately a bullish, like you have a bullish narrative for crypto in the near term, like near meaning like 2 to 3 years maybe, and long term maybe like 5 to 7 years, then I mean these opportunities are here and they're definitely worth buying, at least in my opinion. So I mean I'm
long. I mean DC Yang's always the move for sure. Right. And you both emphasized that, you and Running Man as well. So it's like if you've been around crypto for a while, that makes the most sense. And at the end of the day, like my goal is to make more soul. Theo, what do you got?
I was just gonna say, I think I agree with soul buckets, but the only caveat to where we're at now is just the current situation with the Federal Reserve, and I think a lot of people anticipate that the money printer won't go burr again until next year. I think a lot of people do think it'll go burr next year, but it is a long ass time in crypto and NFTs if we're just going down slowly, like just a slow bleed from now until the end of the year. I don't know, but this is like one of the most uncertain times that I can remember. I mean, I'm Michael Saylor, class of 2020 Bitcoin, so I haven't been around like you guys have since 2017, but I did my best to kind of, you know, get my wits about me when it came to the history. And since I've been in the game, this is kind of the gnarliest time, and I'm just fascinated to see where we go from here. It's really, really interesting for me to think about between now and the end of this year.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people overlook that we've been in a downtrend since November. Like, despite what you want to say, we've had up markets in NFTs. The crypto market's been declining for the last 5-6 months. No matter if you want to say any argument, we peaked back in November. We saw a lot of liquidity there. shorts got squeezed, everything else, and then the market kind of turned with rates. But still, not to this is a Solana show. We're diving into Solana Alpha. Crypto Dan, what you got? What you working with here?
Quick! I forgot to just to give a shout out to Running Man. He gave in the Nifty Alpha group. He gave the alpha on Just Ape. And at the time, I didn't really know you, Running Man. Like, I followed you on Twitter. I was like, "Who's this guy? What is
Let's
this?"
Let's go.
And then it fucking just blew up. It's like it went from like 2,000 people to like 200,000 people. So thank you for that alpha.
And that's what we're talking about. If you're not in the Nifty Discord, what are you doing? Tweets pinned at the top. Go join. Come on now. It's free. Go get that Solana Alpha. Okay, thank you. Cheddar, I saw your hand up. Brought you up on stage. New here. What's going on?
Yo, what up? Thank you for having me up. Appreciate you guys. And also, I appreciate you having this Solana platform. I think it's kind of very well needed in here. We're usually hearing a lot about this Ethereum stuff that PO and Nick be throwing out in the mornings most of the time. You know, so it's a change. I guess I would want to talk about the Borioku Dragons. I feel like that ecosystem and what they got going on is really different than most projects. Obviously, they're the OGs on the Solana space. I'm barely learning about them. But what I find interesting is the Akuma. The Akuma Dragons are going to be releasing on the 31st on the Ethereum blockchain. If you look at a sneak peek, they've actually thrown how the website's going to work. And I think the interoperable website to connect both Phantom wallet with a Ethereum wallet is pretty interesting, and I like the move that they're making towards that. I feel like that's kind of bridging the connection between two blockchains, and eventually it's gonna kind of bring to light, like, hey, it's okay to use two different things, you know what I mean? Like, we all use Visa, we all use Master, right? We all wear Nike and we all wear Adidas. I know people have this whole thing about decentralization, but at the end of the day, if you want to work on decentralization, you feel like Ethereum is that platform for you, it's never a bad thing to use both. If you want to keep your stuff low-key, be on Ethereum. If you want to actually make money and be kind of – I feel like most of the trend's going to start hopping in with Solana just because of how easy things are. And I did start on the ETH side, so I'm not trying to be a Solana maxi, but I am open to seeing how things are kind of playing out. And I'm really excited about it all. But I think one thing that hasn't been mentioned a lot is how Borioku is actually trying to like do that. And I think with the whole Akuma thing and see what they have going on with a token acquisition, is going to be pretty interesting. So yeah, thank you for having me up as well.
No, I think you brought up a lot of good comments there. And I'm definitely interested in the Akuma mint. I'm curious though, it's been something I've been wondering, because we do have a good mix of ETH traders, an ETH co-host. What kind of got you interested in Solana for coming from the ETH side? I mean, I know everyone on the stage has a different story on that, but I'm a little bit more curious because it sounds like you're relatively new, relatively open to the Sol space. So I'm curious what kind of led to that pivot.
I started off as Alien Friends. That was like what my first project was. And, you know, just me being completely new to NFTs, I thought that was the only thing. But I also, from the background that I come from, I'm very open to like finding out ways of making more money. I have in real life things that I, you know, multiple revenues that come in. So me, the way I looked at it, So the whole thing I do like to do is capitalize on IP stuff. And my Alien Friend that I have, I specifically am working around cheese branding it and stuff like that. I know it sounds funny, but I have a dream. And I think Shaquille O'Neal is going to end up buying this shit for Papa John's eventually. But when I seen the OK Bears, that's what grabbed my attention. I felt like that was like, you know, the whole thing that everybody said, like, oh, this could be the next Bored Ape. Obviously, everybody wants to jump into a Bored Ape. So me, I kind of just looked at it like, okay, if this is going to be the next move, let me see if I could jump in and try to get it. I did not get a chance to, kind of went out of my budget. So then me just dabbling with Magic Eden, finding out other projects and immediately connecting with some of my in real life friends that are on Solana, I grew to like their ecosystem. And I think Famous Fox is really what brought me more into it than anything. What the whole squad does and the devs and everything, I'm like, literally, this is like amazing. This is what most projects need to do. And I feel like Ethereum projects miss a lot of that. I feel like if both chains start to work together on, you know, for the future development, I think things can start working out pretty good for most projects. But I think mainly it was OK Bears and then me finding Famous Fox and then finding out how smart the devs are, how trolly people can be. It's kind of my style. So just, I guess that, and then just me learning about the ecosystem, I became a pretty good fan of it. I understand it. I'm not like, hey, we need to do ETH and Sol only. No, I think we should use both, you know? Sorry that I talk a lot.
Yeah. No, that's, it's good to hear. And sorry, Crypto Dan, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's really cool, though, that example. And I know Space Runners is kind of doing the same thing where you know, they did a successful mint on Solana, and then the version 2 or their next gen is launching on ETH. I just think that's really cool because again, like I also started off on ETH, so same situation. And then I got into Sol like early on, just because, you know, like I saw like so many opportunities and, you know, cheap gas fees. So it's like, you know, why the hell not? I just think that's kind of like the way that things should be, right? Like this isn't chain maximalism, right? Like we're in a multi-chain world. There's great NFT projects still on Ethereum. Like people, it's funny, like some people are like knocking Ethereum, like, oh, it's like, like as long as where it's at, I don't think that's true. I think there'll be great, always be great projects on both. And even if you look outside of those chains, like there's still like great NFT projects on other chains as well.
And I mean, I'm a massive supporter of the future being multi-channel. I don't think there's any doubt in that. I think we're going to see a lot of that, a lot of cross-chain stuff, a lot of cool dynamics long-term. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all blockchain tech, and that's what we're all really here for, on top of making some money off of trading JPEGs, of course. Smoothie, JT. No, we haven't really spoken to both of you much. I'm curious what either of you two have been getting into the space. Smoothie, any wins, losses, trading anything recently?
Man, I've just been DCAing into stables on the way down and playing a pretty low-risk game, mostly just pumping out whitelists. And today was a little bit of a higher-risk day for me. I minted this project that came out called Ganja Gators. It was secondary collection under Soul Flowers, basically taking a bet on the artist, this guy Bill Destroy. His real name's Corey Shaw, has multiple Oscar noms and Emmy nominations. So guy has a long list of credentials. Other than that, though, I've really just been trying to DCA my way out of or DCA most of my Solana into stable so that I'm prepared for max pain and buy at this range that, you know, Soul Buckets and the rest of the crew up here is talking around the 20, 25, 30 range. My strength, my edge is not in timing again. So like I'm always just DCAing in and out of whatever positions I'm playing into. That's the big thing. I think this whole whitelist meta, it's interesting that you guys brought it up. This like purchasing accounts, I've been looking into this because it feels like, you know, every time we create a system to combat a certain meta or negative points around a certain meta. So like the whitelist meta came out so that we could prevent bots. But then, you know, in turn, what we're doing is we're kind of rewarding the rich. Rewarding people that are already in positions of privilege. And now, you know, with tokens getting eliminated for the most part and people being wallet-based, we have people selling Discord accounts. I'm looking into that. I'm wondering what people up here think about that in terms of like morals and how that feels compared to tokens.
I mean, is for the Alpha the project, people grinding. I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, say it's across the board, but people grinding in chat all day. Very likely not to mint the project, or skip the mint, which for the healthiness of the project, you know, if people are just there to get a whitelist, you know, to try and flip, you know, just by grinding, it's not going to be healthy. If somebody's willing to buy it, that's totally different. I think we might actually see for the whitelist market, for the wallet marketplace, I think we might see something similar to your, which is like, will be escrow between two different people, you know, and there's a trade. You know, some sort of escrow service for wallet based mint. Just my opinion, though.
Yeah, that's actually, I think, what's going on right now is that there's Discords popping up where people are setting up buy and sell wallet channels, and they have middlemen facilitating in between. So you'll send the soul to the middleman. That person will also send over the account. And so that once they've kind of confirmed that you have a wallet that's enlisted with, or a whitelist that's enlisted with that account, then they do the transaction there.
Yeah, I've seen that. I'll see that quite regular. But I think, you know, they were sort of off-market deals, but I think we could see like a your type solution to that. And that's more ingrained than you know, backhand deals sort of in DAOs. You know, I think that's could be an evolution.
It would be interesting to see that dynamic. I mean, it would just be continued growth on trying to get ahead of that whitelist meta. Until those tokens came out, there was a period of time where people were just OTCing the tokens. And then the foxes obviously ran with it. So it's going to be a continuing thing here. I think it's just very clear that the Sol NFT ecosystem is still really, really young, still kind of in its infancy compared to a lot of other things, which means that the potential for upside and growth is still just, it's clear. We're all still here. We're all still actively trading. And honestly, these past like week and a half and this next couple weeks, I think we're going to be extremely hot for the NFT space on Solana with just these hype projects. If it's not, that's truthfully a bigger concern for me, because everyone's looking forward to a lot of these mints. If they don't bang, I think a lot of us are going to be more concerned with the macro NFT side of it, where we're not sure what it's going to look like. We don't know what's going to hold value and if everything's going to bleed.
Yeah, I mean, just to make a comment on cross-chain as well, I think it's got to come, it's really got to come from the ETH side, because, you know, you still get the feeling that, you know, that side looks down on us, you know, as like some sort of like, you know, JPEG flipping, you know, we're not good enough. But they've got to realize.
Yeah, I'd say so. No, well, I'm just kidding.
I think they have to come to the realization that if we're going to get mass adoption, microtransactions for Metro and Playtron especially are going to exist on Solana. We plug and play. We can literally plug and play with no friction. And I think if ETH starts to come around to that idea, starts integrating with us cross-chain, I think it'll be best for both blockchains, to be fair.
Yeah, if I could just say something on that, I think all it takes is like one Kevin Rose type character or one like real heavy hitter that attracts like institutional money to make a Sol NFT and just be like, yeah, I'm building this. Like, let's say Sam Bankman-Fried from FTX, who sponsors our morning show. But say, like, I just thought of him right away because he like owns Solana. You know what I mean? That's like the first name that popped into my head. I know Shaq's in the game, but Shaq's like an athlete and everything. And I know there's other quality creators. But when you get like an SBF level heavy hitter that makes a Solana NFT and is like building it for like 7 years, and you know, you see a Moonbirds type run and real like inspiration, you know, injected into institutional investors, that's when I think that you're going to start to see it turn. But I kind of feel like it's turning right now from what I can tell.
It feels like it's turning. I think it's also
I think you can see it from Yuga Labs, because you know, you've got Bored Out ecosystem that exists on Ethereum, but you know, their meta isn't going to exist on Ethereum. It's going to exist somewhere where, you know, they can process microtransactions. And that's, you know, that's a similar sort of thing as, you know, ETH and Solana integrating together, same sort of thing.
I think the other thing with that too is, to Pio's point, I think we're now starting to see some of that institutional money. Before VCon, a few people had reached out to see what projects had venture backing and specifically asked about A16Z, which is Andreessen Horowitz's investment fund. I know I've talked about it a few times. Schoenvillain's going to kill me for bringing it up again, but Azure Games is the one that has that backing. That's really interesting to me, because as more projects start to see those funds, whether we even saw with Nyon Heroes, that was an early VC-backed game that traded relatively low over a period of time, and it's still kicking and still is now trading at a much higher floor than even 3 months ago. That money tends to do well. I wouldn't fade SBF, of course. I think the same likes with A16Z. Frisk, what you got?
I was actually going to go back a little bit to what you said, but I like the conversation now, so I feel bad for backtracking. But
no, please.
You mentioned that like we have a lot of hyped upcoming mints, and like we could be a little concerned in regards to seeing like what would happen if a lot of these don't do well. And I think that the big discussion I've been having with a lot of like my friends is there even enough liquidity to really make these like go pump and go crazy? Like we obviously saw like Trip and Ape like do really well, and we saw like obviously OK Bears, which set the precedent for a lot of these projects. But like I'm looking at a list of at least like 50 projects right now, and all of these have like at least 50,000 followers. Some have over 100,000. They have like that insane amount of hype, and they have a lot to live up to. And so like depending on what we consider like a flop or what we consider like a success or not, how high is the bar to be set up to, and at what point do these mints stop being that money printer that they've been so successful in doing so for the past little while? Like at what point do we stop getting that like instant 10x, instant 20x from a whitelist mint? And at what point does it like become discouraging?
It happened on Ethereum. For a long time, it was all about getting the best allow list. Like, you know, there was the Star Catchers project. I forget two other projects that came out at the same time. It was all about getting that whitelist.
Three Lenders came out at the same time. And what was the other one? Was it Fishy Fam?
A bunch of them. So many. And there's more, too, that have all, like, progressively gone towards zero. And at that time, I was like, yo, we got to get the whitelist in the Discord. We got to do it. And to Nick's credit, he was like, you know, oh, like, this is going to be a passing fad. It's not going to be a thing. I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean it's not going to be a thing? It's going to be a thing forever. And he was totally right. But it seems like it's definitely a thing right now on Solana. I would look, anything can happen. Maybe it is a thing forever on Solana. It's just a different game. But don't be surprised if that stuff starts to dry up over time.
No, well, I think go ahead.
No, sorry, Chris. I was just saying real quick, I think that if we see these next projects not get higher than where Trip and Apes went, which I don't think they do, we're going to start to see people lose some of that interest and hype and realize that some of these projects are largely botted, and we're playing into the social sentiment game. Frisk, what'd you have? My apologies.
No, you're all good. You're all good. PO is going to agree with you, actually. I feel like there's that big hype, that big buildup with gaining these whitelist spots. And then I always find that, like, there's that one project that just ends up, like shitting the bed and killing it. Like, we saw, like, I think back in the fall, it was Mechaverse. And after Mechaverse, and then in February, it was Pixelmon. And so we always have that. And I guess I don't want to be that pessimistic, but, like, seeing with what's happening on Seoul right now, where, like, literally you can grab any whitelist spot and you get that free 10x, that free 20x. Like, I'm still confident G-Con's going to be a cook. Like, Trippy World's going to be a cook. We had Ganja Gators and Moonly, which is still, like, a good 2 to 3x above Mint. Like, that's not bad at all. What is our Pixelmon on Seoul? Go ahead.
I think the main difference between ETH and Solana is whitelist actually protects the network from TPS and botting issues, which is why it's so going to be ingrained going forward, is that it's protecting the network for a start. You know, I mean, at the Anaria Mint shut down the network, it went dark for 16 hours. So that's the first thing. I think it'll carry on until projects either start minting higher, because at the moment, all that's happening is a project's realizing value on the launch. And, you know, that's basically what it is. Unless they start raising mint costs, I think it continues, to be fair.
Tom, what'd you have? Or Cheddar first, my apologies. Cheddar, what'd you have? I set your hand up and then Tom.
Thank you. I think with the whole whitelist stuff, it's kind of like, it's very not so transparent with people's, like, intentions with things, that it becomes like how the shoe game is. You know, everyone's going to, like, buy these things when they can, whether they bought them or whether they actually go to find all these stores that would carry these things, you know, and they're going to try to resell them regardless or not, because there's always going to be a market for people making profits. So at the end of the day, I feel like the whitelist allocation, you can either go one of two ways with it. You can either allocate every single spot all the way until the end of the, until the launch date. And I guess vigorously start hiring or have a team that specifically starts to look out for people that are trying to do, I don't know, like whatever it is that you can find ways to earn the whitelist. I feel like that might be something that they can try, or maybe actually trying to find a system or a way of controlling the whole, like a bots, like the bots being able to infiltrate, you know. I don't know how much, I'm not too tech savvy, but I figure we spend so much time in upgrading technology, there has to be a way that we can control the bots from infiltrating things. But for the most part, I feel like it's just a market within itself that's just never going to go away.
Well, they did implement that tax to avoid that, right, on Solana. So, you know, people were botting, like, secondary markets like crazy, right? I remember, like, a few projects that I was in, like, the floor was going so fast, like, I'd click on a transaction, and, like, it would be processing, but a bot had snagged it, so it would just, like, spin forever and then fail. But they did incorporate that tax, so now, like, you can't, like it gets pricey when you start to use bots, right? So I mean I don't know exactly how far they've gotten with it, because I know people are still using bots, but I know it's not as easy as it once was, like a month ago.
100% agree with that. It was everyone and their uncle was using a bot last month and spamming thousands of transactions to try to get anything through. I haven't seen any real major repercussions of the kind of bot tax, but I think it's exactly what we've talked about for like the last 45 minutes here, is this whitelist meta isn't going anywhere. And if anything, whoever comes up with an escrow service to trade wallets or trade Discord accounts without the feeling of being scammed has an absolute cash cow. Like, the first one to launch that to kind of drive some form of alternative to what Famous Fox does with the tokens to make a more secure way to trade these whitelists, people are going to pay for access. It's like when you hit the sneaker bot stuff and raffles and all that other stuff, buying pre-sales. These markets have existed forever. So I think it's a matter of when, not if, for that. Tom, what'd you have? I know you had your hand up and we had called on you for a second there. My apologies.
Oh, no worries. I just kind of had a question for you, and I guess PO and Running Man a little bit about this. I agree with the whitelist meta situation as far as like protecting not only just the mint situation, but I mean, we've seen anything, if you want to, it can kill the entire volume for an hour or two on across the entire site of ME from a big mint like that. The one thing, I was probably a little early on this, but when Nuked Apes minted, there was a Dutch auction. And I thought for a while there that we would see an influx of Dutch auctions on Solana, like we had seen for a while there on ETH. And that kind of fell away pretty quickly. Is that something that I think that could be considered a protection of the system as well, without having to have a whitelist raffle or something like that? I was just curious what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a spot for it. That was an interesting one with the Nuke Apes because they all sold immediately at the peak price. So it wasn't really much of a Dutch auction. Everyone just paid the cap. But at the same time, that helps you find the fair floor price. I brought it up a little bit earlier. The fair launch protocol I'm really interested in. There is a fee per wallet. So yeah, sure, people can enter multi-wallets. Same could be said for a Dutch auction, though. Multiple people could just pay for the highest range. I'm not sure what the easiest way out of this is. I think we're going to see a lot of alternative options, whether it's raffles for whitelist spots, whether it's these Dutch auctions, whether it's, God, you name it at this point. I'm sure we're going to see some crazy different attempts at mitigating who gets it. I've even heard things of people looking for data on, like, the most diamond-handed members of the Sol ecosystem and only giving them whitelist. So, like, those ideas are wild to me because, sure, you could probably find that data, but at the same time, there's markets for all this stuff. So people are going to sell and move things around, and it's a matter of who creates the tools to get people who are willing to pay the money to get access, you know? I know we got 5 minutes here, give or take. Wanted to just kind of open the floor up to anyone who's got projects, bags, things they're holding that they want to share, things that they want to talk about project-wise, what they might be looking in, a little bit of alpha to end the show. I know we haven't dove into it too heavy. Cody, what do you got?
Two things. Number one, I just found out how to raise my hand. I'm pretty excited about that. And the second thing, less alpha. It's just, gotta say, if you're in the crowd, listen, this is Solana Made Easy. Having a dedicated Solana Twitter space has been dope. No one does it like this. Want to say thank you to EZPO, Running Man. I think this is sick. Can't wait for next week. Keep going.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that a ton. Absolutely. I mean, we're not going anywhere. First week is about to be in the book, so I'm hyped. I'm excited. A lot of time to go. I'm excited because of how fast the Solana market moves. We haven't had a dull day yet. I mean, shit, we were talking about stepping on Tuesday as an interesting play, and today we're talking about the thing dying. So who knows anymore? This space flies. I'm excited, man. We got a fun weekend ahead of us, too. GCon on Sunday is going to just be chaotic. Wouldn't shock me if TPS shits the bed again. I'm excited to see how it plays out. I'm excited to see what some other mints we got going on. Personally, I call out a few things. Obviously, shout out to Famous Foxes. Huge, huge fan of them. Shout out everything else we're kind of diving into. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today on Solana Made Easy. I appreciate you all listening in.